Well, hello out there, and thank you for tuning in to today's latest edition of Talkback, hosted by yours truly, Gloria Shea. It is Monday evening. It's a bit after 7 p.m., coming to you from the city of Cleveland, Ohio, and I wanted to bring an updated show to you this week. Normally, as many of you already know, we tape on the weekends, Saturday or Sundays. Well, we had an actual show scheduled for yesterday, early part of the day at 4 p.m. We had a special guest, and Jennifer Ayers-Moore was scheduled to come on. She was on. We were right in the middle of taping the show, and we had some technical difficulty. So that was very disheartening, to say the least, but she did promise to come back, visit with us here at Talkback, and complete the show. And you might remember the film, The Soloist, with Jamie Foxx and Robert Downey Jr. Well, we're going to talk to his sister, Jennifer Ayers-Moore, on another occasion. The film was based on her brother's life, Nathaniel Ayers, and we're going to make sure that we bring that show to you. So don't worry about that. We'll make sure we get it to you at another little later in the year. We'll have her back on. But tonight, we're going to talk about J. Edgar Hoover. Yeah, we're going to talk about J. Edgar Hoover. A lot now is circulating, a lot of the buzz about J. Edgar Hoover, who was the United States' first director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. He was the first director of the FBI. And a lot of buzz now is creating around his story because of the massive successful film, The United States Against Billie Holiday. Well, and he was a major force behind the conspiracy to take down Lady Day. So we all know that, and many of us knew that already before the film came out. By the way, the film is a huge success. I saw it a few weekends ago, absolutely thoroughly enjoyed the film. It has since gone on to win the Golden Globe Awards. Andrea Day has won for Best Actress. I'm looking for this film to win more than one Oscar in this year's coming up Oscars Awards. I'm looking for Lee Daniels to take home the Oscar for the Best Director of a Major Motion Picture this year. I'm looking for Andrea Day to take home the Oscar for the Best Actress of a Major Motion Picture Film. And it's just because it was an outstanding film. If you haven't seen it, I'd recommend to check it out. It's on Hulu. You can stream that film, and it was absolutely magnificent. So the recreation of a buzz is generating around the history of J. Edgar Hoover. He was quite the instrument and taking down not only Billie Holiday, but quite a few. And we're going to get into that. We're going to let you know about some of the actions of the first director of the FBI of the United States. He was born January 1st, 1895, born in Washington, D.C. So he grew up as a D.C. kid. And as I said, he was the first director of the FBI. Want to take just a quick break, because I want to speak to all the business owners out there. If you've got a business, small business, large business, for-profit business, non-for-profit business, consider partnering with us here at Talkback. And consider, if you are a listener, go to our Facebook page, Talkback, a thought-provoking talk format. That's Talkback, a thought-provoking talk format, and leave us a review and recommend Talkback to others. If you would recommend, go to our page, put it down in writing, let us know what you think. Maybe you've got some ideas of some upcoming shows. We'd love to hear about it. And if you've got a business, partner with us. We've got an audience for you, I'm telling you. The show is growing massively. And our audience, we have got a great combination of men and women. Our age groups is a bit surprising. It really, really is, because we touch the age group. It's so diverse. And I was a bit surprised when I discovered this just a short while back, how diverse our listening audience is. We've got a great mixture of men and women, and the ages are pretty interesting because we've got a young audience. If you're looking to reach a young audience, guess what? We've got it. If you're looking to reach an older audience, guess what? We've got it. And we've got a great combination of males. Many of our shows have a greater percentage of male listeners than females. For example, the data shows us that 67% of our last show on that we taped about a week ago was, guess what, were men. 30% were women. The age group, we've got a young audience up to 17 years of age, but we do reach that main demographic of spenders, people with disposable income, 35 to 44, and the 60 plus age group, which is prime for retailers. Those are who most retailers target because they have the cash. They've got that disposable income. So I would certainly give a consideration to advertise with us here on TalkBack. Yeah, we had a large percentage were men on our last show that we did. We taped a part two series, part one and part two on Cicely Tyson. And believe it or not, 67% of the listeners were male and 30% were female. So certainly consider, give us a call. If you have questions about our rates are very affordable, 216-394-8926. That's 216-394-8926. 216-394-8926. Give us a call here. We'll be happy to share the rates with you, and we'll get you going, and we'll get you some customers. Okay, so we're going to talk about the life of J. Edgar Hoover. And he was the FBI director for well over 50 years. Well over 50 years. Half of a century. He was kind of a phenomenon for many folks, if you will. But he was a nightmare. He was a total nightmare for so many others. I mean, during the, we're going to get into this, but he had trouble with, under the Kennedy administration. Nixon loved him, by the way. It seems that Jack Kennedy kind of tolerated him more than anything, but Robert Kennedy, I discovered, gave him a lot of ways in which to do and to kind of spy on people at will. I mean, Robert, he would have to go, remember, to the administration, to the presidents or the attorney general, and get permission to spy on these people. And his main theory that he just ran with was everyone was communists, and that we were in trouble. They've got leaders in their group that are communists, and we've got to spy on these people, and we've got to plant listening devices. And and what he did to Martin Luther King, and there's a film out about that, the FBI Martin Luther King, that just hit the film circuit. And that's pretty interesting, how he just was hell-bent on destroying Martin Luther King, and legally, he tapped his private conversations in different hotel rooms, and that's now well-known fact, and the papers on it, the archives, everything is open now for the public since the film has been released. But J. Edgar Hoover has been a subject of many, many novels that have been written about him. There actually, about 4 years ago, Tim Weiner published a book called Legacy of Ashes, and he talked about the CIA. He gave a detailed account of the CIA and a lot of their backdoor business, and this is an account that he shared with an attorney in Washington, D.C. after publishing his book. He said, I've just got my hands on a Freedom of Information Act request that's 26 years old on former Director J. Edgar Hoover's intelligence files. Would you like them? Weiner's talking to Fresh Air, Terry Gross. And finally, said yes. Weiner went into the lawyer's office, collected four boxes containing Hoover's personal files on intelligence operations from 1945 and 1972. Reading them is like looking over Hoover's shoulders and listening to him talk out loud about the threats America faced, how the FBI was going to confront them, he says. Hoover had a terrible premonition after World War II that America was going to be attacked, that New York or Washington was going to be attacked by airplanes, by bombs, and he never lost this fear. And Weiner's new book, Enemies, A History of the FBI, traces the history of FBI's secret intelligence operations from the Bureau's creation way back in the early 20th century. So he explained how Hoover would just rant and rave about all these communist threats against the United States. And that's how he was able to build his own misguided premonitions and credibility and his own misguided whims to go after people like Billie Holiday, people like Martin Luther King Jr., and many, many others, and eventually President John F. Kennedy. Of course, we all know the story there of how he had dirt on the president as well. So he had an interesting persona, and he had an interesting way of just kind of wanting to have everything his way. He was a bit of a narcissist. He liked having things his way. If he felt something had went wrong, then he was beside himself more often than not. And he would, he had a lot of characteristics, believe it or not, like our former president, Donald Trump. And he, like I said, he was a bit of a narcissist, and he had to really create someone else's downfall to kind of feel really, really good about himself. And being the first director of the FBI, remember, this was a role created for him. He was the very first, and he was in the office for almost 50 years. He really kind of had his way a lot more than he should have with this role. And this is a time here in our country in the 50s and the 40s and the 50s where it was the United States was still trying to show its strength around the globe with Europe, and we had come up off of World War II, and we had helped win the war, and the French helped us, and we were building a coalition with the outside world, with Europe. But he would use communism as his ticket, so to speak, to just do everything on a whim. He really was. And private, here's a story that I find very, very interesting. When Nixon, former President Richard Nixon, which he served under Nixon, heard that J. Edgar Hoover had died, he said, Jesus Christ. And I won't say the other word, but he says, I can't believe that he's gone. And he couldn't believe that he had died. And so he was a secretive guy. He wanted to kind of present his evidence towards others, but when it comes to revealing more of what he was really, really like, He was very, very close-minded about it. And there are a lot of rumors. You might remember Clint Eastwood did a film on J. Edgar Hoover. And it wouldn't kind of open up that can of worms that we've all heard, you know, the whispers about, or now, of course, in many books that have since been published, but about the homosexual sexuality that supposedly circulated in his own circles with himself involved as well. But he had a thirst for bringing down black folks, homosexuals, anyone he thought was tied to communists. That was his life goal. And strange enough, the story goes that he dealt with a lot of the circles that he condemned. And so when Clint Eastwood did his film, he did not touch on or portray any open homosexual relationship between Hoover and any of his so-called partners. Now, he did have a longtime male companion, Hoover did. His name was Clyde Tolson. Okay. That's a known fact. There's been pictures taken. It's been written about. He did have a longtime male companion that he constantly was seen with, and it was rumored that that was his lover. But his war on homosexuals, communists, black people was notorious, simply notorious. You're listening to Talk Back, heard right here on Anchor Podcast. Please take a listen on Spotify. We've got so many listeners on Spotify right now. And we're on all the platforms where podcasts can be heard. But you're listening to Talk Back. Partner with us. If you've got a business, you got to give us a call. 216-394-8926. That's 216-394-8926. We've got great rates. You give us a call and partner here with us at Talk Back. Okay, well, so this evening, March the 8th, we're coming to you from Cleveland, Ohio, and we're talking about the mysterious J. Edgar Hoover. And he has certainly created some mystifying details about himself, I must say. But yeah, there have been a lot of rumors about him being seen with men, getting out of taxi cab rides, being seen out around D.C. years and years ago. I'm talking about back in the 50s and 60s, and he did have a steady companion. So, but that's not, you know, who cares, right? I mean, that was his life, and that was okay. But during that time, everyone kept all of their real sexual habits undercover. So that was nothing new. And that's what everyone did back then. Their drug use, their sexuality. Of course, if they were real communists, if everything was hush-hush and hidden under the table. But what's so just difficult to, maybe not so difficult to understand, because that's kind of the narcissist's way of doing things. But he himself had his own demons, and they were hidden in a closet that he had to deal with. And he just was a gay basher, but he himself had his own affairs with men of this, you know, same-sex affairs. So, anyhow, but a lot of movies have been done about him. Clint Eastwood did a film about him. There's a story that when Bill Clinton, back in the 90s, when Bill Clinton was president, and when he first got into office, he was contemplating, you know, who to appoint as the FBI director. And there's a story that there were a few of his staff in the Oval Office there, and he was thinking about who, you know, who should I name as the director. And the saying is that the thought of a cross-dressing reports were hilarious. And he says, that's going to be hard. And he was at a press function And he says, well, I just don't know who I'm going to get to fill J. Edgar Hoover's pumps. And so it was a well-known fact. And believe me, to all my listeners out there, I'm not degrading who and what he really was, is that he was a mixture of walking contradictions his entire life. So, go figure. I mean, here's a guy who tortured known actors who he knew were homosexuals. And he went after them and he kept files. Rock Hudson was one of them. He kept files on these guys. A lot of Hollywood studio executives and actors and actresses. He kept files on them so that he could have something that he could, if he needed the ammunition, he had it. His childhood was a bit pretentious as well. He grew up in California, and he came to know his own sexuality at a very, very young age. So it was not something that he had, that he just one day decided that he wanted to be, but this is something that was a part of him growing up as well. And he didn't like coming in second to anything. Like I said, that narcissistic personality. He didn't like to lose. He always liked to be first in everything. He didn't tolerate a lot of imperfection in his own mind, what he would consider imperfect. And he didn't like to become personally involved with a whole lot of different people. But that was his personality. There's a saying, who was a close FBI associate, gentleman whose name was William Sullivan. He said that he didn't think J. Edgar Hoover had an affection for one single solitary human being. How about that? That's pretty interesting, don't you think? He never joined a political party. He always said it was not political. In fact, privately, he was a supporter, though, of the Republican Party. He had aspired, here's some newsflash, he had secretly aspired to be president and considered running against Franklin Delano Roosevelt. So, in which he thought, he always said that, well, Roosevelt was left-wingist, and even tried to tie him to the Communist Party a while back. Joe McCarthy suffered greatly at the hands of J. Edgar Hoover. Originally, Hoover had expressed support for Senator Joe, when he was a senator, Joe McCarthy. And then he flipped the script, so to speak. And he became a staunch enemy and a thorn in McCarthy's side. And there thus was born the McCarthy eras, if you're a history buff, then you know of the McCarthy trials and how everyone then was brought in as being thought to be tied to communists, the communist coalition. So he went on to become a big thorn in Joe McCarthy's side. He was the first director of the FBI. You would think that his motivation at some point would be to catch criminals, right? To actually take down real criminals. Well, he was concerned about crime, and he was interested in tracking down. Remember Charles Lindbergh, when his baby was kidnapped, and eventually the baby was found murdered. But he was an intricate part, a major part, of tracking down the murderer of Charles Lindbergh's baby. And he also was featured or had some hand in Finding Bonnie and Clyde, Machine Gun Kelly, John Dillinger, all of those considered in that time era to be most wanted and dangerous. So he called them all thugs, and he was certainly very had a lot of energy for catching these guys, Bonnie and Clyde, Machine Gun Kelly, and John Dillinger. So, and he was portrayed in some of the films. The name was brought up, but if you remember the film Bonnie and Clyde, which Warren Beatty, and his film was probably my favorite version of Bonnie and Clyde. If you remember in that film, his name was mentioned on more than one occasion. In the 60s, Hoover just, I don't know, kind of went way overboard. It seems like he extended his hand or played his hand that he really wasn't given, but he did. He just went to extreme lengths and goals to kill Martin Luther King and his movement, or the civil rights movement, I should say. He just protested over and over again that the civil rights movement and King were under communist control. So he set up surveillance on King, and he recorded King having sex with women other than his wife. And this was the primary goal here for Hoover, was to neutralize King and basically be able to go to him and say, now either you stop this. Matter of fact, the story goes in the new film out with the FBI against and Martin Luther King Jr. that he sent a letter to King and to Coretta saying, we know what you're doing, and my advice to you is to go and kill yourself. Well, we know that didn't happen. But yeah, he set up massive surveillance at different hotels that King would visit, as he would visit different cities. And he actually caught, he taped King having sex with other women. So even beyond the fact that his tactics were just not just distasteful, but they were absurd. But you have to keep in mind what type of man he was, the power he had, and the power that he wielded. Time and time again under every single administration that came thereafter. And interesting fact that I learned here, interesting fact, I have to share this. There is some talk. There has been conversation more than on a few occasions. It's rumored that Hoover himself had some black ancestry. There are some early photographs show him looking somewhat Negroid. Can you believe that? And there was much gossip around Washington, and he must have been aware of it. And I think that only fueled the fire for him to go after King, the Civil Rights Movement, and many others, Medgar Evers. There's talk that, of course, he knew or had when of what was going on and who actually was the killer of Medgar Evers as well. So he struggled with his own homosexuality. He struggled with the fact that he may have even had some African-American ancestry. He struggled with the fact that he wasn't a very popular man. He didn't have a whole lot of personality, so to speak. And yet, those are the main targets that he created in his mind, and therefore he went after. And so when the time came, and under Kennedy, I mean, he deplored the man. He deplored his brother Robert. He deplored Jack Kennedy as president. And he kept files on the president whom he served. He was FBI director under the Kennedy administration, and he kept a record of the Kennedy's escapades, his sexual escapades, and whom he would see, and the organized crime, supposedly, that his father and he was supposedly connected to. So he he went just head first and to collecting information. That was his way of wielding his power. That was his way of wielding his power. Blackmail was his way of actually saying, you know, I gotcha, and there's nothing you can do about it. The civil rights movement was just humongous in the 50s and started in the 50s, but about the time of 1960, 1961, it became just a greater and greater threat to what Hoover thought, a threat to the stability of the American government since the Civil War, he thought. And he thought that King was totally enemies of the state, and he would do all that he could to take him down. And that's what he went after. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I should say, fortunately, it didn't end the way he thought. King didn't go and kill himself. His wife never left him. And he went on, of course, to be killed in Memphis. But he, to this day, remains who he is, beloved by this country, certainly African Americans, and just beloved for what he did and the sacrifices that he did make. But there's a story that Hoover went into that time, the Attorney General Bobby Kennedy, and President Kennedy said, look, he said, Stanley Levinson, who was King's advisor at that time, is a communist. He's a secret communist. He's an underground communist. And he's using Martin Luther King as a cat's paw. Here's what happened. Bobby Kennedy gave him the go, gave him the yes to go ahead and do the surveillance. Interesting enough, and I touched about it just a bit back, Hoover, under Franklin Delano Roosevelt, really had unlimited power. And every president thereafter, from Roosevelt, Truman, the Kennedys, Nixon, continue to allow him to wield this unlimited power. You're listening to Talk Back, hosted by Gloria Shea, right here on Anchor Podcast. Please pick us up on Spotify. Everyone's listening to us now on Spotify, so pick us up on Spotify. If you've got a business, big business, small business, give us a call, 216-394-8926. That's 216-394-8926. Give us a call, and we'll be happy to go over our rates. They are affordable. We reach every target audience you can imagine, and certainly we've got that older demographic, which has the more disposable income. And so you give us a call, and we'll be happy to put your message out there to the right folks. And go to our Facebook page, TalkBack, a thought-provoking talk format. That's TalkBack, a thought-provoking talk format. And give us a review. Tell us what you think of TalkBack. If you would recommend TalkBack, tell us all about it. Okay, so we're going to wrap up our story on none other than J. Edgar Hoover, who was the United States' first director of the FBI. And he was born, as I said, January 1st, 1895. He did pass away on May 2nd of 1972. He was born in Washington, D.C. He died in Washington, D.C. And he's actually buried at the Congressional Cemetery in Washington, D.C. There's tons of more books out there. But there's a book out about him that was written called Masters of Deceit. And he really was a master of deceit, I would say, because he held behind American law enforcement, and he did some unthinkable things, some cowardly things, and some things that by today's standard, certainly he would be thrown out of office. Although William Barr has come pretty close under President Trump, But let's be clear. J. Edgar Hoover was not a pawn for any president. J. Edgar Hoover was, J. Edgar was director of the FBI, but William Barr is attorney general, so scratch that. But let's be clear. J. Edgar Hoover was never a pawn for any president. He wielded his power at his whim, at every whim, and no one was, strong enough, willing enough to call him on the carpet on it either. He was who he was. He did what he wanted to do, and that was just the way it was. And he would gather information about existing presidents that he served under just to be able to continue to do as he saw fit. He was a man of many contradictions and many falsehoods, a lot of secrecy, And if you notice today, we're in 2021, and if you notice a lot of his tactics and the way he did things, you'll see them every so often, every so many years, come back to fruition. Even today, you look at a lot of the hate groups out there. Well, they had a welcoming partner in J. Edgar Hoover back in the 50s and 60s, the KKK, and all those war hate organizations that wanted to infiltrate the government. And they had a helping hand in J. Edgar Hoover. And if you notice today, everything always comes back around again. We're in the year of 2021, and a lot of these hate groups, the big boys, the Proud Boys, these hate groups out here today are able to pretty much come back to the forefront again and do the things that they want to do. Not saying that they have help from the current FBI administration, certainly not under the Biden administration or even under the Trump administration. That's not what I'm insinuating. What I'm saying is a lot of the things that J. Edgar Hoover presided over, the tactics, the underhanded tactics, the strong arm tactics, the illegal tactics, the by whatever means necessary tactics, it comes back around again, and we're seeing it today even. Well, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed the show today. Thank you for listening so much to Talk Back. Stay listening. Until next time, America.